Chen against Gonzalez. Mr. Sharma Crawford.
May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is William Sharma Crawford, and I appear on behalf of Suling Chen, the petitioner in this matter. I'd like to begin by saying what this isn't. It's an asylum claim in front of an immigration judge and an appeal to the Board of Immigration Appeals, where they issued their decision. It is not a decision that involves a finding of lack of credibility. The immigration judge in his decision stated he was troubled, but he didn't use a lack of credibility to find to negate her claim. There's really no dispute as to the facts. Ms. Chen came to the United States and here bore two children. She's not claiming she was persecuted prior. There are some nefarious, is the best term I can come up with, affidavits that were created or appeared in the initial application with counsel from New York, who later withdrew under a cloud. Those affidavits were withdrawn at trial. I believe, even though the immigration judge points to one by her spouse, in my reading of the record, trial counsel attempted to pull that affidavit as well. So she's not standing on a claim that she had a prior abortion, which was the issue of those affidavits. There's no past persecution. There's only a fear for future persecution as to the Chinese population control. She has two children in the United States.
And what evidence is there in the record that she faces involuntary sterilization should she be required to return to her home in China?
There's actually quite a bit, and it turns on the definition of a word. The State Department reports, as political as they are, say that there is no evidence that people have been forcibly sterilized or aborted in Fujian province and other places. And then it turns and discusses how the Chinese may use other persuasive techniques, which the Chinese government doesn't consider to be force, but yet they are no less forceful. They include not recognizing the child, and therefore the child doesn't exist as a Chinese citizen, gets no assistance, gets no health care, gets no schooling, gets no food. And so those techniques are forceful, but they are not the barbarian aspect of dragging someone to an abortion clinic. The State Department hides behind the word force and hides behind the Chinese definition of force. They don't consider those other persuasive techniques to force people. They go willingly to have these procedures so that they can then gain the benefit of the Chinese society.
What in American law would equate financial incentives to have an abortion with force?
You mean a fine is what you're saying is a financial incentive?
Financial incentive can be a fine, that's negative reinforcement, or the lack of a subsidy.
Correct. I mean, years ago there was and the only thing I can think of that would parallel what you're seeking, there was a program that began when the Norvis implant was newly aroused or newly put to market. And a gentleman in Kansas, one of the state senators, suggested that he would give a bonus to women on welfare if they would have this five-year prophylactic, for lack of a better term, implanted in them. And it created a furor.
What does this have to do with the meaning of, right, there's a particular statute saying that forcible abortion is treated as a form of persecution.
Correct.
Your argument, therefore, as I now understand it, says that financial incentive should be treated the same as force. But what makes that connection as a matter of American law? If you look at domestic abortion law, there is a heavy financial incentive to bear the child, because the public fisc will pay for childbirth and will not pay for abortion.
Correct.
But we don't view that as a form of force.
But
why should we view it as a form of force when the Chinese use financial incentives the other way around?
Because we don't limit the amount of children. We don't say you've exceeded your amount of children. Your desire to have a family can go no further. We will either, if you have one child and you seek an abortion, you're allowed to go do that. If you have 15 children, you're allowed to continue to do that. The Chinese have said, you've had your two, you get no more.
Mr. Sharma Crawford, there are affidavits in this record, though. Do any of those affidavits show that physical force would be used?
I don't believe that they do. the two affidavits that are there, one of a man and one of a woman, which have survived and were dismissed by the immigration judge, indicate that the Chinese authorities destroyed property and one other was required to hide to maintain the child. Mm-hmm. Now, whether the destruction of the property is the physical force, neither affidavit speaks to being physically accosted and taken to a clinic where this act would be performed.
Those are the only two affidavits in the record?
Those are the only two affidavits that have survived and that trial counsel moved forward on to state that they were evidentiary.
Are you aware of two Second Circuit cases, G-O-G-U-O and Chen, speaking to this issue?
I am peripherally, Your Honor, that they have, and now that you say that, know that I'm not specific as to which issue, whether it is.
Well, it seems that, the Second Circuit has remanded two cases to the board to examine documentation that that the board might indeed find supplies the information not found in the State Department report, that there is forcible sterilization. But you don't, do you rely on them? Don't cite them to us.
I don't cite them. I cite the court here, I cite Dong, and there's a recent case, Zhao, which came down on the 18th of this month. The difference in those two cases is that they in the immigration judge used the inconsistent State Department reports to discredit testimony and evidence. Dong and Zhao both point to this court's holding that since the State Department reports are internally inconsistent, that they should not be used to discredit the testimony and other evidence that may rebut what the immigration judge parses out from the State Department report. So in that regard, I'm relying on that to extrapolate further here where we don't have a persecution. The immigration judge was relying on to say, I don't believe you that you were forcibly aborted or sterilized in China because the State Department report doesn't say that. Here we're agreeing that she wasn't, but we're discounting the judge's decision that it would never happen. A reasonable possibility of future persecution is a 10%. For him to say it's not going to happen because of this line of the State Department report discounts that is inconsistent with the remaining portion of that State Department report. That analysis is incomplete, especially where it's supported by the two affidavits that were brought in. I see my light is on. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time.
Certainly, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Good morning. Lyle Smith on behalf of the government. We ask that the court affirm the board's decision. The question in this case is not whether the agency could have accepted the petitioner's asylum claim, granted her asylum claim. The question in this case is whether or not the record here compels a conclusion that this petitioner, Chen, is going to be forcibly sterilized in China or otherwise persecuted because of China's birth control policy. Here the court should affirm the board's decision because the evidence here in the record does not compel such a finding. First of all, petitioner presented no testimony of past mistreatment in China. She had presented no testimony of any contact with family planning officials in her hometown. It's important to state here that she had testified previously in her asylum application or before the asylum officer and through affidavits that she was forced to have an abortion in China. This is admittedly false. She does not raise it now. She has recanted it, and her claim, therefore, is, counsel has stated, entirely prospective in nature and based on what could conceivably happen to her in China because she has had children here in the United States.
Are you aware of these cases from the Second Circuit?
I am aware. I think you cited to Shou Yang Guo. Was that one of them?
That's correct.
463 after one. Okay.
Yes, and the other one was the Chen case.
I'm not sure if I'm aware of the other case. I am aware of the Guo case. In that case, I don't think that case warrants remand here because that's a different case that had to do with a motion to reopen. In that case, the Second Circuit found that a locally issued family planning handbook in China supported the petitioner there, the petitioner's claim of change.
For the very same area as that this person would be going back to, right?
I believe it was Fujian Province. I'm not entirely sure.
Same area.
Right.
And one of these decisions in the Second Circuit, the Gu case, came down before the board acted in this case. It seemed, why would the board have just sent this case packing to the Second Circuit, to this circuit, when the Second Circuit had told it to take a good hard look at whether people sent back to this province in China are in fact going to be subject to forced sterilization?
Well, because the evidence that the Second Circuit relied on in Guo, Zhouyang Guo, is not before, was not before the board in this case.
But isn't there another concern here, too? I mean, shouldn't, you know, we keep hearing from counsel for the United States in these cases that this is really an area where the executive has a great, has many prerogatives, one of the reasons being that it affects the foreign relations of the United States. Should we really, countenance the, or be a party to the United States speaking with two voices on this subject? I mean, shouldn't the Board of Immigration Appeals decide whether we're going to be sending people back to this province in China, where people born in this country, therefore American citizens, are going to apparently be the subject of some discrimination, and their mothers subject to sterilization because they bore those children in this country. Seems that sounds to me like something where the executive ought to get its act together, and we shouldn't interfere with that.
Yes, I agree. The board, the agency, is the agency responsible for making that decision, not the court. And here,
this
agency,
woman goes back to China, and is, and the Second Circuit decides that the two people before it should not go back for this reason, the United States will be speaking with out of both sides of its mouth.
And in that case, it shouldn't be the Second Circuit. It should be the agency that should have made that decision.
And that's what the Second Circuit said. The Second Circuit sent it back to the board. Why shouldn't we send this back, too, and said, "Take a look, here's another lady from this area, same problem. Take a look at all these together."
Because unlike that case in the Second Circuit, here we don't have that conflicting evidence. In the Second Circuit case, there was conflicting evidence because there was a family planning handbook, and I'm sure there was, among other documents, which supported that petitioner's claim of changed circumstances in China. And in this case, the petitioner is not arguing that there are changed circumstances in China. She's just arguing that she will be forced to have a sterilization. And I would also like to add that her claim of persecution is only forced sterilization. It's not economic incentives or fines. That's not what her claim of persecution is. It's always been forced sterilization or forced abortion if she were to have another child. We believe that the board thoroughly consider the evidence in this case. The evidence that was at issue in the Second Circuit case was not before the board. The petitioner never presented that evidence to the IJ or to the board. And also in that Second Circuit case, at least in Guo, the court only found that the case should have been reopened because the petitioner established changed circumstances because of that evidence before that court in that case. The court did not go on to hold that that evidence also compelled a finding of future persecution. I think focusing on this case in the record before us today, the court should consider the petitioner's testimony, review the petitioner's testimony, affidavits, and State Department report and profile as a whole, consider the evidence as a whole, and decide, well, does this evidence compel a finding that Petitioner Shen will be subject to forced sterilization in China. And another thing is important to add, the question is not whether the petitioner will be subject to the laws of China. Every Chinese national in China is subject to the laws of China. The question is she going to be persecuted because of that policy, under that policy, forcibly sterilized? And while there might be some evidence that could support that her claim that she'll be forced to be sterilized, there might be evidence that supports that finding. That certainly doesn't compel that finding, especially when you weigh all the evidence. Consider the State Department reports, which, as we've discussed extensively in our answering brief, states repeatedly that there have been no cases of forced abortion or sterilization in Fujian province in the last 10 years. Local physicians have not seen signs of forced abortions or sterilization since the 1980s. There have been no cases of physical force employed in connection with abortion or sterilization. Certainly there have been financial incentives, but have not been able to confirm cases of physical force. U.S. officials have not seen any case where a person was punished because his or her relatives violated the birth planning regulations in China or had not paid fees or fines. And importantly, there's no known national policy of punishing citizens who have...
Well, this policy generally in China is handled province by province, isn't it?
It is handled... Well, there are family planning officials in each province. It's a national policy. If you look at the reports, it's true that certain provinces have handled it differently from other provinces. But I think it's important to know that if there's no national policy of forcing Chinese nationals to have sterilization procedures, to undergo sterilization procedures. Now, although this Department of State report states that there have been a few cases of forced abortion or sterilization over the years, it does not reflect this has occurred throughout China or pursuant to a national policy. The report does not reflect that there have been such cases in Fujian province, so I don't think this is really an inconsistency. I think what the reports are saying is that, yes, there have been some reports of forced abortion sterilizations, but the State Department has not been able to confirm that these cases occur extensively or throughout China or pursuant to any national policy, or that these cases have occurred in the last 10 years in Fujian province. The profile also refers to reported cases in some rural areas and indicates that such cases are declining in frequency. I think if you look at all these facts, it was reasonable for the board to find that Chen's fear of future persecution was not objectively reasonable. This evidence does not compel a reasonable fact finder to conclude that Chen has a well-founded fear of future persecution, that she will be forced to be sterilized. And just one other thing I'd like to add, the affidavits that Petitioner Chen submitted likewise do not compel a finding of future persecution. They do not show that the events occurred throughout China or pursuant to a national policy of punishing Chinese citizens who have had children in the United States. As the board found, they don't outweigh the country reports given the isolated and discrete experiences they describe. And I also, in our brief, we noted that the affiants do not explain how they know Petitioner Chen or how they know she would be required to submit to sterilization if the affiants have been in the United States since 1993 and 2000. And I'm referring to the affidavits by Mr. Wang and Ms. Cao. So at this point, Your Honors, we would ask that the court affirm the board's decision, unless the court has any other questions.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you very much.
Anything further, Mr. Sharma Crawford?
Your Honors, I believe that despite the government's contention and the court's own revelation of the nature of the cases and the evidence in the Second Circuit, I think even in this matter we have conflicting evidence. I think the State Department report itself internally is inconsistent and it conflicts. I think this isn't a matter of change of circumstances. There are a couple of cases in this circuit about whether or not the current family planning rises to change circumstances. The inconsistent reports indicate change circumstances. I think we agree that national policy of China is family planning. Whether it is the national policy is forced abortions or not, it is without a doubt family planning to maintain their population. The result of that policy may be these forced sterilizations when that policy is broken, as that seems to be the case, either forced sterilizations or forced abortions. So therefore, I think the law of China is, through that mechanism, forced sterilizations or forced abortions. I agree with counsel to consider the evidence as a whole. The testimony?
We come back to the question I asked you. It's the national policy of the United States to pay for live childbirth and not to pay for abortion. Does that mean that we have a policy in the United States of forced childbirth?
No, Your Honor, I don't think we force childbirth because we're not saying that we're requiring you to have.
One, not the other.
I understand, but we're not requiring you to have the children. I agree there may be an incentive to have more children, and there's a long history of sociological argument about the welfare policy that says we encourage people to have children. I think there is a difference when we cut off. We're not ordering you to go create families. Here they're ordering you to stop families. And then if you don't, there become economic punishments for you when you exceed the amount of mouths to feed in your household. I think I don't think there's a force to create since there is an option not to. We don't prevent you from stopping. That's, I believe, the difference here.
Suppose an insurance policy of a particular employer said, we'll pay the full cost of childbirth and the medical care for your first two children, but not for any further children. Would it be appropriate to describe that as a form of forced abortion?
Well, I think here in the matter, we seek both abortion or sterilization in China. So I think I would say that in response to that insurance policy, not mindful of the arguments to get a different policy, yes, I think you forced that family into a family planning decision that they may or may not want to make, whether it is abortion of the next child or sterilization to prevent further children, as conception, various other means of contraception are arguably ineffective. I see my time has expired if there are no further questions.
The case is taken under advisement and the court will be in recess.